What is up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Yo, man, episode 28, man. I'm really loving, this season, man, the season that I'm in, with all that God is teaching me, all that I'm learning. I'm super fired up to share tonight's word with you guys, man. But first and foremost, man, let's get some stuff out of the way before we hop into this message. First and foremost, shout out to Impartation Ministries out in Nashville, Tennessee. Mrs. Pastor Wendy Etter, thank you for acknowledging the Unchained Podcast and all that we do and the messages we put out. I truly appreciate it because Lord knows I do not do what I do for an applause. I don't do what I do for money. I don't do what I do for standing ovations. I do it simply because I want to be obedient to the call of God in my life. So the fact that you stepped out and acknowledged what we do, what my boy Charles and I have done and what we put together, the foundation of the Unchained Podcast would not have been possible without him. Although Charles has not been present for most of season two, he's been going through some stuff with his family, job transition, everything else. However, my boy was honored as well, man. So thank you, Mrs. Pastor Etter, for you know what you did. Appreciate all of you who love, support, share the podcast, share the link, share the messages, donate. Y'all support means the world to us, man, because without y'all we wouldn't be in 10 countries. Without y'all, we wouldn't be touching lives all over the world, man. So again, appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for holding us down. And as always, man, if you guys want to support the podcast, you can cash out $ at No Chains On Me with the Z. That's $ at Cash App, y'all. There's No Chains On Me with a Z. Or you can go to anchor.fm/unchained. And you can pick a spot for a monthly contribution right there on the homepage. Again, thank you guys. If you guys want to share how you enjoy the messages, how you enjoy whatever it is that we do, you can also leave a message right there on the dashboard of the Unchained Podcast at anchor.fm/unchained. Also, guys, I got some questions. Some people have been wondering, do we have to listen on Anchor? No, you can listen to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. When you go to the anchor.fm/unchained page, it says more ways to listen. Click that and you'll get a bunch of links so you can listen from your favorite station. So, without further ado, also, man, just understand that we're still working on some stuff in the background. We're actually putting some really, really cool stuff together. So keep your eyes peeled for the Unchained Motivation page on Facebook, as I will be releasing some new information, some new content. Super excited, man, for what God is doing in this season. Super excited about what he's teaching me, knowledge-wise, man, and the fact that I'm able to apply what I'm doing with other people, man. It's been phenomenal. So, praise God for that. However, guys, I do want to go ahead and share this message with you. I don't want to keep you long. I know you guys have been waiting on episode 28. I've been getting messages, yo, when the next one's going to drop. Sorry, guys. It's been a busy season. I'm under some heavy tutelage and learning right now, man. So, that's why there's been like a week or two between podcasts. So, please forgive me, but your boy's working on it. But without further ado, man, tonight's episode is called The Exchange, man. It's called The Exchange. And it's not going to be long, I promise you. But I do want to say this. I do pray that what I share with you guys tonight, I do pray that it takes good root in the soil of your spirit. I pray that roots grow down. I pray that fruit comes up. I pray that this word is watered by the word of God. I pray that it is multiplied. I pray that as it blooms, that it brings forth fruit, change, and transformation in your life. I hope that those of you who are listening tonight, I pray that you get something out of this because, again, I don't like putting stuff out that God has not made right in my spirit. I give you exactly what he gives me. So without further ado, man, the word is the exchange, the exchange. And so tonight's word, I'm going to kind of use a little bit of Genesis chapter 1 at verse 26. I'm going to also use Romans chapter 1. And then, of course, I will start at verse, verse 21. Let's say verse 21, because there's a lot that goes into Romans chapter 1. And you hear Paul is writing a letter to the Romans, and he's talking about how he's, going to God, and he's so excited hearing about their faith and how they believe, telling them about the good news about the gospel of Jesus, and and how that, you know, the righteous live by faith. And he's, you know, he's really just opening up, you know, what an awesome life is when you have Christ in your life and when you have faith in God, you know, the marvelous thing that God, things that God can do. But then he goes on and talking about God's anger against sin. Okay. And I guess what, I'll tell you what, let me start at verse 18 and I'll read down through chapter, I mean, not chapter, but through verse 23. So 18 through 23, Romans chapter 1, it says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds, animals, and reptiles." Now, I wanted to expound on this just a little bit, but I want to take a little bit of a different spin on it. Now, what it's clearly stating is stating that God's anger is burning against these group of people simply because they have learned to worship things shaped like things that have absolutely nothing to do with God. They have worshiped the creator, I mean, the creation of things versus the creator of all things. And when you read on, it says that God has turned them over to a depraved mind. That means a mind that is disobedient, is reckless, is pointless. It comes up with silly speculations. There is nothing profound about, you know, what they do. And not necessarily what they do, but what they think. Right. They have just become silly. And I think the craziest thing about this is that it says that they knew God. It says they knew God. And so that word knew means to know for themselves. So they didn't know through just, you know, random conversation. It says they knew God as the creator. Right. And you know how sometimes you know somebody, but you get bent out of shape because they don't acknowledge you. So you see them out in public. They know you. They know you exist. But they just pretty much turn the other way. Right. It says they knew God, but they did not acknowledge him as creator or God. As a matter of fact, they didn't even say thank you for the wondrous creation that they get to experience every day. They don't say thank you for the air they get to breathe, the water they get to drink, you know, the houses they live in, the clothes they wear, the people they get to connect, they get connected to, that are able to, you know, I guess bless them, so to speak. You know, God uses people to bless others, but, you know, it's just crazy because, you know, they have access to all these things, but yet they acknowledge God for none of it. And then, you know, it says that they became fools, right? Their hearts and their minds became darkened. And the crazy thing that I really want to point out, the different spin that I want to put on it is, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it talks about how God created us in his image and likeness. Now, don't confuse, although image and likeness are similar, they're not the same. Image, it is almost kind of like when you read it in the Greek, it's like I can't think of the name. I think it's like idolatron or something like that, which means to worship a thing or something that looks like or mimics something. It is an actual hard copy image, where the likeness of God means you're worshiping God in a moral state, in a state of hold on, let me look at my notes here. I don't want to get this wrong. Hold on. Bear with me. Yeah. So when you are worshiping, you know, in God's likeness, right, you are worshiping him, you know, in not a physical, right, and not a physical form, but a spiritual personality or moral likeness. Okay. Yeah. So there we go. So it's not a physical, but a spiritual personality or moral likeness, right? So when God said, "Let us make man in our likeness or image," he's talking about in the image of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not as a hard copy or a man-made thing. So when you are seeing the wrath of God come forth in Romans, you are seeing that the Romans are actually acting in such a way that is detestable, and it makes God upset. So if you think about this, if God created us in his likeness, and let's just say you're created in his likeness, but yet you put, let's say, heroin in the same shell as his likeness. Okay, so I just want you to understand that you're not a human, right? You are a spirit that lives in a human body, right? The word being, when it's attached to human, means a human being. Does not mean like a human person. A human, like, the word being is a spiritual connotation. Okay, it has a spiritual context to it. So you are a spiritual being inside of a human, right? Wrapped in flesh. So think about it. You know, God created you in his likeness, and yet you are defiling your likeness with heroin. You defile your likeness with alcohol. You defile your likeness with pornography. You defile your likeness with tons of sexual activity. So you are finding that these people are doing things that are in direct opposition to what God created them for. So when you think about God and what he created people for, you know, he says that we are to have dominion, right? He says we are to have authority over everything on the earth. Okay? Because we are created in his likeness, you know, the Bible said that God created him both male and female. He created them, and God blessed them, granting them certain authority. And he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subjugate, which means to put under your power, and rule over it, which means to dominate everything that is about the earth, everything that moves above the earth. It says to dominate it. Okay? And so what is happening in our lives to where we're not living this kind of powerful life that God has created us for? And so I begin to think, and I begin to meditate, and I begin to wonder, because let's look at the context of the times. We're not walking around necessarily, at least I haven't seen anybody walk around with like little carved frogs or carved men or carved things and worship those wooden things that they used to create. I haven't seen any, right? But for some reason, in my spirit, I began to think, are you worshiping the image that you have created about you over worshiping the God in you? Okay, those are two different things. Those are two different things. And I don't mean to worship yourself. I mean to worship, you know, the God in you, the God that he put in you, the power, the authority, the wisdom, the knowledge, the ability to subjugate, have power, dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply. I'm talking about that. Do you worship the idea about you? Okay, because the idea about you, I promise you, is not accurate. It's not accurate. So when you compare to how God created you versus the idea about you, which one do you give more energy to? Okay, and again, this is a legitimate question, and is not necessarily in the context that is written here in the Bible, but this is just the way that it was brought forth in my spirit. Which you are you worshiping? Because if you actually give time and energy and devotion to the way God created you, it allows you to be in a relationship with him, because you seek for understanding. You seek to grow yourself. You seek to have power, dominion, and to subjugate and to multiply. You seek to become a fuller expression of how God created you originally. But when you worship the idea about you, when you worship your likes on Instagram, when you worship your filters, how you think you look, when you worship the type of photos that you take for attention, when you worship status, when you worship money, when you worship what your car says about you, you actually are worshiping an idol. So in a way, this image you have created, you have begun to worship the own image about yourself that you've created. So you spend more time trying to please your image versus pleasing God. So you have darkness and light that both live in the same shell. Depending on which one you give energy to, determine how your life turns out, determine how your life unfolds, determines how your relationships move about, determines if they are successful or failed relationships. It determines if you're able to attract whole good people in your life, or if you're going to attract more people, they're going to drain you. Right? So depending on which way you lean, depending on which way you give your energy, depending on which one you bow down to, that determines what kind of life you have. So you can always judge how you're leaning depending on what kind of fruit is in your life. Right? Look at the fruit. What I mean by fruit, I'm not talking about what you get at the grocery store. I'm talking about, how do your kids talk to you? I'm talking about, how does your spouse talk to you? I'm talking about, how do you talk to your spouse? I'm talking about what your financial look like. I'm talking about, are you always stressed? Is your house in an uproar? Is it always messy? What is the fruit that you see in your life? What's that look like? That will give you an indicator on which one you worship more. You think I'm playing? Give your time and attention to the way God originally created you and watch how your life changes. Watch the things that you'll be able to attract in your life. Watch the relationships you'll be able to mend. Watch the parts of you that you feel are broken that you'll be able to mend through that. Okay? So Paul says that God turned them over to a depraved mind. Turned them over to their foolish thinking. Right? Because when you are thinking foolishly, you do unnatural things. It says that men were having unnatural relations with other men and women were having unnatural relations with other women. Okay? That was a sign that they are leaning more toward this flesh part than they're leaning more toward this God part. And what we see every day, and sometimes even in your own life, and I promise you, guys, I am not preaching at you. I am talking from a place of relevance. I'm talking from a place of relevance. You can always tell which way you're leaning, determining. Yeah, I mean, you can always tell by which way you're leaning because of how your life is turning out. What is continually showing up? Is there always a problem in your life? Is there always an issue in your life? More than likely, I'm talking about the same issue that you always have to deal with. Now, we all got issues and all God's people got problems. We all heard that before. But I would rather have new problems, new situations, because if it is an indicator that I'm having the same old problem just manifesting itself in a different way, that tells you that I'm worshiping something within me. I'm worshiping an idea about myself that is not true. Because if it says that we were created in the likeness of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, if it says that we are created in that kind of spiritual morality, if it says that if it says we're created in the spiritual personality and more likeness of God, but yet my life looks nothing like God or his spiritual morality or his likeness, then what are the ideas that you're worshiping? Because you can say that you're happy, but if all of your posts on Facebook indicate that you're depressed, there might be something there. Right? As a matter of fact, sometimes you can even go the opposite route. If you are always maybe looking like you're happy on your Facebook, but you're not really happy, there's something wrong with that. You're worshiping a false idea. And when you worship a false idea, you actually are exchanging the real source to get healing. You are exchanging the real source of your healing for a fake idea that has no real power behind it. It has no real power behind it. So it almost throws me off when I see people worship their idea of what happiness looks like, what love looks like, what success looks like. You're worshiping the wrong idea. That idea has become a god to you and you can't figure out how to get out of it. You have worshiped this way of life for so long, you have no clue how to get back to the original form. It's called surrender. And I'm pretty sure that some of you guys have seen, the Facebook meme where, Jesus has this big old teddy bear behind his back and he's trying to take the small teddy bear from the little girl so he can give her the big one. But she has this attachment to the little one. Her idea cannot outgrow the little one that she has in her hands to receive something bigger. And some of you are wanting bigger things out of life. You're wanting maybe more finances. You're wanting a nice, fulfilling relationship, but you have to exchange your idea, okay, for the true thing, the real thing. And what I'm beginning to find all the time is that everybody wants this part of life that they've been trying to get for so long, but they're unwilling to part with that part in order to step out on faith to get the real thing. It's almost like I don't want to say oxymoron, that's the wrong word, but you know, they have this illusion that they can hold on to the old way of thinking and take on a new way of thinking, and they both live in the same mind. You can't do it. You have to exchange one idea for the other one to get the transformation that you want. So Paul is talking to these Romans about this, like, hey, look, I've told you about the good news of Jesus Christ. I've told you how he can save and heal and deliver. I've told you about the goodness of God. You know God as the creator. But it says you exchanged the truth for a lie, which means you consciously knew the truth. You consciously knew it. But yet you exchange your idea of the truth for an actual lie. So check this out. When you read it in the Amplified version, and I think it is, it's verse 19, Romans chapter 1, verse 19. When you read it in the Amplified, it says, because that which is known about God is evident within them. Let me say that again. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. Okay, so that means in their inner consciousness. God has revealed himself in the inner consciousness of all these people. And it says, for God made it evident to them. He says, forever, since the beginning of creation, of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship, which means all his creation and the wonderful things that he's made, so that they, right, are without excuse and defense. So it's saying that God himself put it in man's inner consciousness to know that he is God. So therefore, they would not have an excuse and they wouldn't have a defense. So which means if you are sinning against your God-given nature, it is by choice. It is by choice. It is not that you didn't know. He says, because of that choice, he says, you have become godless with your thinking, worthless, and your hearts become darkened. Which means, look, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this. I know that I have. And I think the term that we use for it is numb. And I think you heard me use that on the podcast Indifference. That is a very dark space, which means there's not a lot of logical thinking going on from that hurt place. And it generally happens when you begin exchanging, when you begin compromising with the truth. You begin making compromises against your own nature. You begin making compromises against the word of God. You begin making compromises against what you know is true. You willingly exchange the truth of God for a lie. We call that willful blindness. So you know it, you understand it, you've heard it, but yet you still decide to go against the way that God has made you. And so the reason why I brought up the analogy that are you worshiping, right, a different idea about yourself? Because I'll be honest with you, that's really the only thing that stands between you and the knowledge of God. Getting to know him intimately as how you think about yourself. How you think about yourself, it either allows you to accept God or reject him. Because when you look at all of God's attributes, when you look at Jesus and what he brings to the table, when you look at eternal life, when you look at everlasting grace and mercy and love, when you look at someone who always says, I forgive you no matter what you do, meaning there's nothing you can do to make me love you any more or any less. When you look at that kind of resume, there's nobody dumb enough to say, I don't want that. There's nobody dumb enough to say they don't want it. Why is that? Because you seek it within another human. You seek it within another human. So you can't tell me that you don't want it. the reason why you reject it is because there's so much inner conflict. There's so much inner conflict, generally in the form of self-condemnation. You don't think you're worthy enough to receive it, so therefore you reject it. You punish yourself. Or maybe you are entertaining the idea of what someone else said about you, so you don't think what Jesus thinks about you is valid. You think your thoughts about you are more valid than his, so you reject it. So this can go multiple ways. Either way, you are standing in the way of experiencing that kind of life of Christ. You are standing in the way of being able to experience Father, Son, Holy Ghost within you. And see, a lot of times, again, when we start to entertain these wrong ideas and these wrong thoughts about ourselves, generally, I promise you, most of them are fueled by outside influence. You have made a choice based upon a certain circumstance. You form an idea, and then you begin to feed the idea with things externally. So let me prove it to you like this. You ever get upset or mad or get your feelings hurt and you go and search like one of those memes, like 3 a.m. thoughts, or you go and get like another meme, or you share somebody else's meme because it parallels with your feelings at the moment. It parallels with how you feel at that exact moment. So you think it's okay to continue to feed that emotion versus go to the God side of you and say, Lord, I really don't understand what this is. Can you help me figure this out? Because see, God can actually pinpoint the pain, he can point it out, and then he can eradicate and erase it. That's the God part in you connecting with the one true God. Because there's nothing about God that is broken. There's nothing about God that's missing anything. He is whole. Triune God, all in one, able to do all things. That part of God lives in you. But you got to feed it the right attention. You got to feed it the right energy. Otherwise, your ideas will gain more momentum, more control, and you end up negating the whole God piece of you, and you begin to just live in the flesh, live with the wrong idea. Start attaching yourself to multiple things on the outside, trying to feel whole, some way, somehow. Going around trying to continually put things in that don't fit. Putting yourself in other relationships that don't fit. So I really just said that because I want people to be consciously aware that if you continue to do that, it says that God will turn you over to a depraved mind, which means you're going to continue down this road of foolishness until you turn the other way. God's love is there. It's available. And it's for you. But you got to give it the energy. You can subdue, you can multiply, you can have dominion, you can rule. You can experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can enjoy the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but you got to feed the God part of you to access it and stop feeding the wrong ideas that have nothing to do with who God says you are. And again, as I said, y'all, episode 28 wasn't going to be that long, but I just wanted to make sure that I gave you guys what was on my heart. So I just want you guys to be, look, man, take your time, man, and getting to know you. And quit entertaining what social media says about you. Stop entertaining what other people say about you. How about you take time to get to know you? What are your proclivities? What are your hangups? What are these old ideas that you're entertaining? And start letting God work with you on getting rid of some of those things. Again, man, it's your boy, Keelan Martin. I love you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Peace.